One of the clearest manifestations of the total depravity of mankind is that multitudes in every generation have attempted to come to God using God's Word, yet denying God's Word concerning how He saves sinners freely in Christ Jesus the Lord, apart from any works on the sinner's part. That's a measure of our depravity, that we would take God's Word and look into it and yet deny exactly what it says. Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4 declare plainly that sinners aren't justified by anything we do, but by God and Christ alone. And some folks get a little squirmy at that, because chapter 4 has to do so much with faith. But the faith that God gives those that He's justified in Christ is not the same faith that unregenerate religious folks talk about in our day that we hear so much about. Faith doesn't make the difference between your justification and your condemnation. Faith does not make the difference between your justification and your condemnation. It's God who justifieth. It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that's risen again. Faith is not the cause, the reason why a sinner's justified. Faith is the result of Christ having justified a sinner. It's the fruit of what Christ accomplished. And if I say opposite to that, if I say that my faith made the difference between my justification and my condemnation, my understanding of true God-given faith is as corrupt as I am. Because I'm looking to my faith to be some kind of credit with God. And I'm not looking to the faith of Christ. There's a difference. There's a vast difference. True faith has all its confidence in its object, who is the Lord our righteousness. Well, but Scripture says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It sure does. And so today I want to show you what God did for Abraham. And here's what I propose to you, is that Abraham believed as a result of the free justification and righteousness of Christ his surety. Now you know, I won't keep you long here, but you know last time in Romans 3, we learned, first of all, a sinner is not justified by obedience to the law of God. We saw that in Romans 3, 19 and 20. And then we saw that justification, righteousness, sanctification, all that's included, is completely accomplished without this sinner's obedience to the law by the faith of Christ. It's by that one who himself is the believer's righteousness. Up there in Romans 3:21. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Without the sinner's obedience to the law. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. All God's word declares it. And it's the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ. Most of your modern translations is going to have that. It's just faith in Christ. And that fits the theology of most folks who believe that the righteousness of God is revealed by their own faith. But it's not revealed by our faith. It's revealed by Christ, the faithful. Here's the righteousness of God. Let me give you something to help you understand that. Here's all God requires. Here's what the faith of Christ is. Here's all God requires of you and me. We got to be born of incorruptible seed. We were conceived in sin. We got to be born of incorruptible seed. We got to come forth from our mother's womb holy. We came forth speaking lies. We got to come forth holy. Our thoughts must be absolutely in accordance with God's thoughts. He requires righteousness on the inward parts. Our words must be absolutely in agreement with everything that God would have you and I speak. The Lord said, I don't speak these things of myself. He said, what I got from the Father, that's what I speak. I and my Father are one. That's righteousness. That's faith. That's the faith of Christ. And our actions have got to be absolutely according to the very actions of God that magnify and honor His holy law, His holy name, and are nothing but complete love for our brethren. Now that right there, to me, is about the extent or the fullness of what I see by the faith of Christ. But it's not only his active faithfulness. It's him himself. It's his person. It's who he is. It's who he is. I'm convinced. I just have looked at this and looked at it. And I'm convinced over there in Romans 1. When it says there, verse 17, therein, in the gospel of Christ, it sets forth Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed. And he is that righteousness. And it's revealed from faith. I believe that first faith should be capitalized. I believe it is from him to those in whom he's taken up residence. But let's go on here and look. Thirdly, we learn that Christ honored God's holy law and justice, and thereby God's both just and the justifier of all who trust in Christ. That's what we saw in Romans 3:26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now that might not line up with the way you've always believed about the faith of Christ. But we need to line up what we believe with Christ, with God's righteousness, and not with how we think it ought to be. If it's translated to in Christ, it can't be any other meaning. But the translators were a little more honest than a lot of the translators today. They didn't have any financial gain from it. And they just, if they didn't, they put it in a way that it could be translated both ways. Go both ways theology-wise. But let's look here now, Romans chapter 4. Paul uses Abraham now to simply illustrate everything he had taught. What did Abraham, it says, verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did Abraham, what did he find? The father of the faithful, the patriarch of natural Israel. What did he find? Did he find a way of life in himself? In himself, according to his flesh, did he produce righteousness in his flesh? Verse 2 says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not before God. But not before God. God knows his heart. God knows my heart and your heart. We can't glory in anything. For what saith the scripture? Verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What is it? The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God was counted, imputed, charged freely, given unto Abraham for righteousness. It became his righteousness. Imputation means Christ's righteousness is truly my righteousness. Christ's righteousness is truly your righteousness. It's not as if it's your righteousness. It's yours. I used to hear folks say, I thought it was good, that justification means just as if I never sinned. Well, it kind of does, but it's more than that. I have never sinned according to how God sees it. In Christ, I've never sinned. It's more than that. But verse 4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward, that the crown of righteousness. Righteousness is itself. To him that worketh, it would have to be reckoned to him not of grace. It couldn't be freely given to him, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's true God-given faith. Don't you catch what verse 5 says right here? True God-given faith believes on him that justifieth. You see that? Verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth. Our justification's in a person. Our justification is accomplished by a person. Not us. Him. Him that justifieth the ungodly. That's the only thing we brought to the table was being ungodly. That's it. And every sinner God justifies is that way. And therefore every sinner it's ever been justified has been justified by God. By what Christ accomplished before he ever even knew anything about it. Faith is how is what God gives us to receive what he's already done for us. And thereby, it's said that we're justified by faith that's in Christ, that trust Him that justifies us. That's true faith. Faith is represented here as the complete opposite of anything resembling a work, anything opposite of it. And this righteousness of God in Christ comes not by anything we do ourselves, but through God's free gift of faith, which unites us with Christ, our righteousness. We can't even boast of our faith. If you read over there in Ephesians 2:8, 2:8 and 9, and you take out not of works, out of verse 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast." We'd boast of our faith if we could muster up the faith to believe Him. We'd boast of our, just like we boast of our works. Now I want you to see that Abraham's faith was a gift given to him because Christ was his righteousness. That's what Scripture said. For God so loved, He gave. Isn't that right? God gave. So let's consider what the Lord did when He called Abraham. Back here in Genesis 12, verse 1. Hebrews 11:8 says that when Abraham, this is when Abraham believed God by faith. Now read here with me, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, I'm going to read you Hebrews 11:8, and then I'll read you Genesis 12:1. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith he did that, Scripture said. Now Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abraham's country, his kindred, his father's house, is all an example to us, a representation to us, for it truly was to Abraham, of our natural condition in sin. Abram was in idolatry. He was in idolatry. He wasn't seeking God. He wasn't looking for God. He wasn't trying to come to God. God came to him. Why'd God come to him? Because He loved him. Because He put him in Christ before the foundation of the world. Because in Christ He blessed him with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many is that? It's all of them. Is justification one of them? Yes, it is. That's a spiritual blessing of God. And they were blessed. God blessed Abraham as when He chose him and put him in Christ. He blessed him with all spiritual blessing. That's why he came seeking Him. That's why he came seeking Him. Now, secondly, but he had to bring him out of that place. He had to bring him from his own kindred, from his own country, from his daddy's influence, bring him out from under all that, because all he was in sin and rebellion, and he had to be brought out. And so then, notice here secondly, the Lord's promise to make of Abraham a great nation was in Abraham's seed, in Christ, who would be born of Abraham's lineage. In Christ, he said, all the families of the earth should be blessed. That is a people out of every family, different nations, tribes, kindreds, tongues, they're going to be called out. And Abraham, Scriptures tells us, saw Christ's day. It says he saw Christ's day. I don't know that I've ever entered into this quite as much as I have studying this week. But the Lord showed Abraham over in Genesis 15:2. I want you to hold your place there, Genesis 15:2. We'll camp there just a few minutes. But in Genesis 15:2, Abraham was called out by God to look up into the sky. Now look here with me. Verse 1 says, "And after these things," Abraham, consider all he'd been called out from his family and his country. He had asked God about Lot. If it's just one man down there, will you save him? And the Lord said, "I'll bring him. If there's one down there, I'll bring him out." And Abraham went down there and fought for Lot. And Melchizedek, this type of Christ, some believe he was Christ, may have been. But he met Abram on the way back and blessed him. "Now after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, he said this, he said, Lord God, what wouldst thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? He's just a servant. He's gonna receive the inheritance from me. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. I know what you told me, but you haven't given me a seed. One born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. It's not going to be this, not going to be this servant in your house. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, now look toward heaven and tell the star, count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Now, I want you to hold your place here. Look over with me, Galatians 3:16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Now catch this next phrase here, I want you to see. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. He's talking to Abraham there now. And it says here that when he was talking to Abraham, God wrote his law on Abraham's heart. That's what a covenant is. And it was confirmed to Abraham of God in Christ. You mean to say that when he made that promise, Abraham saw that he was talking about Christ? That's what the Lord said. The Lord said, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced. He rejoiced to see it. Now, I want you to see something. And the Scriptures tells us there that the law didn't come to 430 years after that. It couldn't disannul this promise. This promise was yea and amen in Christ from God to Abraham, when Abraham was standing out there in that desert looking up at all those stars. Abraham saw Christ right then. He saw him then. And he wasn't circumcised. We're going to look at that next time. But he wasn't circumcised until 15 years later. So that didn't have anything to do with it. This was salvation by promise. That's exactly how every sinner is saved. Now let me show you something else here. Hold your place there. In Genesis 15:2 now. Did you turn away from there? Genesis 15:2. To see that this covenant, this is what it means when it says God will put his law into your inward parts. God makes his covenant with you. And he writes this covenant in your heart. We see how sure it is in Christ. And that's the only motivation for good work. That's the only thing that will make a sinner want to walk before God honorably and turn from his own wicked, self-righteous works. And he was confirmed in him. We need to understand who this word is that came to Abraham. Look here in Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Well, the written word wasn't around. What word came to Abram in a vision? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. This work I'm saying was done with Abraham. It was born witness in Abraham through the Spirit. We're going to see that in a minute. But this is the Son of God talking to Abraham. Abraham saw Christ. He beheld him. And look here now, what did he say? What did he say? The essential word, the Son of God, Abraham's surety. He revealed himself to be Abraham's shield. He said, Abram, I'm your shield. Christ is the shield, first and foremost, who bore the justice of God in the room instead of Abraham. Abraham, you're guilty before God. Abraham, God's wrath has got to be satisfied. His justice has got to be carried out. But don't fear, Abraham. I'm your shield. I'm your shield. I'm going to bear it and protect you from having to bear it. I'm your shield. And he tells him something else here. He says, I'm your reward also. He said, I'm your shield, and not just a reward, an exceeding great reward. But now the righteousness of God is manifest. Where? By the faith of Christ. Abram, you not only need to be justified from being guilty before God's law, but you got to be made the very righteousness of God. That's the reward. That's the crown of righteousness. You've got to be crowned with righteousness even as God is righteousness. And he said, Abraham, I'm not only your shield to protect you from God's justice, but I'm the one that's going to robe you in righteousness too. I'm your reward. Abraham saw his day. And those fellows the Lord came to, they were boasting about, we be sons of Abraham. And he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And he was glad. That's what faith is. Faith is gladness. To trust him and look away from myself. And he said, they said, you're not even 50 years old. How did you see Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. That's who came to Abraham and talked to him. Abraham, look up here. Look at all these stars now. They used to say, Helena, Arkansas is the biggest sky on earth because it's just delta, you know. It's just flat. You can see from east to west and just on a starry night, it's just a multitude of stars. And I can just picture what Abraham's looking. He's out there in the desert and he just sees from one horizon to the other just a multitude of stars. And the Lord said, that's how many brothers and sisters I'm going to give you, Abraham. That's how many children. You're going to be the father of that many children. Talking about everybody in Israel? No. He's talking about those that were going to be saved in the seed. Not Isaac, Christ. And Abraham, and he said, now Abraham, that's me. I'm your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. You see what God's righteousness requires? You can't provide it. You need the faith of Christ. And that's what all the believers at every age have rejoiced in. The psalmist said, behold, O God, our shield. He said, the Lord God's a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. What does a shield do? He's going to give grace and glory. Deuteronomy, happy art thou, O Israel, who's like unto thee? This is spiritual Israel. People saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency. And then the psalmist cried and he said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. You're my portion. You're my reward. You're my righteousness. You're my enduring substance. Now, thirdly, the Lord ministered this life and this gift of faith to Abram, right there, then and there, through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness in a heart. Look here, the sinner saved, always saved the same way. If you'll turn back over to Galatians 3, look at verse 5. Galatians 3. Look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. This is what Paul's asking the Galatians. Who ministered to them the Spirit? Well, turn back with me to Galatians 2:8. Paul said, he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. This is Christ the Lord. This is God ministering the Spirit. And Paul asks him here in Galatians 3. He says, now, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. Isn't that what Peter said at Pentecost, day of Pentecost? He said, God has shed forth this which you now see and hear. The Lord said, our Father's going to send the Spirit. And he said, Christ has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He ministered the Spirit. Now Paul asks him, he that did this to you and worketh miracles among you, by stretching forth his hand to heal, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Everything that's been said right here, God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering the Spirit to the believer. does it through the hearing of faith, through the word. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. And it says here, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God. That's exactly how Abraham was saved. That's how he came to believe God too. I'm pointing this out to you, brethren, because, and this is what I found. This is interesting to me. I never have. It's good to be here where I get to preach and what have you, because I'm learning something. I'm learning just looking at things. When people see Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 3, when they see it on a message or whatever, it usually doesn't get downloaded as much. Because everybody thinks they know it. Everybody thinks they understand it. Do we? I hear a lot about faith that's about your faith, about your act of believing. It just brings this whole thing down on a level to where man has the final say. That's not what happened to Abraham. And Paul's using Abraham as the illustration here, because Abraham, for the Jews, I mean, this was the patriarch. And for believers, this is the one we know as the father of the faithful. How was he saved? How was he given faith to believe? Christ did it. The Lord Jesus Christ did it. He was as much Abraham's righteousness as his surety before he ever laid down his life at Calvary as he is for you after he's laid down his life at Calvary. He's the righteousness of God. It's by the faith of Christ. Abraham saw it. He looked ahead by the word speaking in him and said, see it? See what I'm going to do? See the righteousness of God manifest without the law by the faith of Christ? I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward, Abram. And by the Spirit of God's grace, Abraham believed. He believed. So what did he find? What did Abraham find concerning his fleshly works or anything that was done in him? What did he find? What saith the Scripture? Romans 4:3. Abraham believed God, and the righteousness of God was charged unto him, imputed unto him for righteousness. He was made the righteousness of God. Now to him that worketh, the reward's not reckoned of grace, but it's of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that's true faith. That his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You think about it. There's Abraham, this ungodly sinner, this idolater. And God gave him spiritual life. God gave him repentance from his own way, from his own life, his own country, his father, to turn and follow God. And never did tell him where he was going or nothing. Abraham believed him, because God gave him a heart to believe him, and he trusted him. And this ungodly man who's given life, who's given faith to trust Christ, realizes that before God had ever come to him, before God had ever given him new life to hear, ears to hear and a heart to believe and eyes to seek, before he ever did it, Abraham believes he or understands God loved me. He put me in Christ. That's grace. Are you tired of hearing about grace? That's grace. And Abraham's sins were charged to Christ, his surety. And God, and Abraham, he said, Abram, I'm your shield. Your sins are going to be charged to me. And by my faithfulness, my righteousness is your righteousness. And Abraham believed God. And he found out this. This is what he found out. God will not charge you with sin. Ever again. Ever again. Well, that'll make a man fall into all sorts of licentiousness. Abraham failed a lot. Sure did. But God didn't impute sin to him. But I tell you what Abraham did do. Everywhere God told him to go, he went. Everything God told him to speak, he spoke. He followed God. He believed some sound doctrine taught to him by Christ the Lord. And he followed him. And he went everywhere he went. and did everything perfectly, absolutely not. He fell down every step of the way. But one thing he didn't do, he didn't straddle the fence between his own country and his idolatry and all that, and what Christ had revealed in him. He didn't straddle the fence between the two. If he would have, he wouldn't have followed those things which are becoming to the glory of Christ. You know what he did? See you. I believe him, and I'm following him. That's what he did. These are the, in those works that he did afterwards, Paul's teaching us here that we're not justified by works. We're justified by Christ. But those works that he did after that, they justified Abraham before men that he really did believe God. God came to him and he said, Abraham, offer up your son Isaac. And he called him his only son Isaac too. Back up before that, he came to him and he said, Abraham had the boy with the bondwoman. He said, Abraham, cast him out. That's the work of your own hand. He's not the son of promise. He coming through your own loins, Abraham. And you know what the Hebrew writer says? Abraham staggered not at unbelief. He wasn't in unbelief at all. It looks like he was to me when he took matters into his own hand. God's viewing him in the faithfulness of Christ. And he staggered not in unbelief. He believed God. For just as Christ believed God, trusted God as a servant of God. And then he saw Christ right there. God just kept teaching him more and more Christ. And he says, now you take that son Isaac, Abraham, go up to the mountain, kill him, sacrifice him to me. Abraham believed God, didn't he? He went up there. He took his boy and he said, Lord, as you've said it, I believe it. The Lord said, don't put your treasure on things of this world. You believe it? Prove it. The Lord said, seek ye things which are above. You believe him? Do it. Abraham, go up to that mountain and take your boy and sacrifice him. Abraham believed God. And he went. And on the way up there, when Isaac said, Daddy, what about the law? What about the law now? He said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. I know what the law said. That law ends in the one I've seen, in the one I'm trusting, the one in whose day I've delighted in. That's who that lamb ends in, son. That's who that law ends in, has its fulfillment in. We're going on up here and do what God said. And when he saw that ram caught in that thicket, he said, there he is. There's the lamb God's provided. Because he saw Christ's day. He saw the lamb God provided. He saw the ram caught in the thicket with the briars pushed down on his head, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of the covenant you entered into, my son, to be Abraham's shield and to be his portion. Because of the covenant you entered into, my son, to be the shield of Scott Keller and of Eric Lutter and of Pete Shepis, to be their portion. For that reason, I poured out my wrath upon you, son. That's what Abraham saw. He saw it in the son of promise. He saw it in the ram caught in the thicket. And he proved he believed God. He followed God the rest of his days. And God said, behold my son in whom I'm well pleased. He had stumbled. He had fallen. When he was down there lying to that king and saying, Sarah's not my wife. God said, I will not impute sin to him. He's righteous. He's righteous. You want to see how faithful Abraham is? Look to the faith of Christ. That is what true faith does. That is what God-given faith does. It looks to the faith of Christ, to his, and we see there's the righteousness of God. That's what he requires right there. Well, Abraham believed, and it wasn't by his works. It was by God-given faith. And I just hope that's I enjoyed that. I enjoyed seeing that. I started seeing those things about Christ and the Word and the shield and the portion, the exceeding great reward. And just like I told you Thursday night about preparing the message, I danced around a little bit more. Put a little spring in my step. So I hope it does for you too. All right.